Well, Tony, I have a little activity. I'd love if you wanted to come up and look at it with me. We are going to talk about worrying today. And so I want you to come here where you can see in the bowl. So I have these flowers. This might be something we're excited about. Maybe school or a trip or something. But then we start to worry. Oh, what if kids don't like me? Or what if we run out of gas? Or whatever the worries might be. Have you ever worried about something? We worry about people being sick. We worry until our little flower, which started like this, is all folded up. I'm going to fold another one up. Now, sometimes when we read the Bible, like we will today, we're going to hear Jesus say, don't worry. He's going to say, you know what? The flowers are clothed so beautifully. You don't have to worry about your clothes. The birds eat so much. You don't have to worry about the food. But he says, think about God. So watch. Here's what's going to happen. So we've worried our flowers into nothing. But if we take it to God in prayer, can you see that? You can stand up if you want. What do you think happening?
It's unfolding.
It is pouring. So when we go to God in prayer, when we read the stories in the Bible, we find this peace. And God helps us to get back into our flower, back to our bloom. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if you all can see this, but flowers opening up. That's kind of cool, huh? So when we're tempted to worry, what we can do is remember God is always with us. And we just give our worries over to God. It's okay to worry. It's part of life. There's things to worry about. But there's also a way that we can manage that with prayer. Okay?
Did it work?
Maybe should we show them? You can go back to your seat if you want.
Yep.
They totally unfolded.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
It was really cool. You could see it unfold. So thank you, Tony, for coming up to see the magical flowers. And if any of you want to try that at home, it's just plain old paper and water. There's nothing special. So, kind of a cool little trick. But that's what happens in our lives. Sometimes we worry and we shrink up until we're so afraid we don't want to go do anything. And Jesus is saying, listen, go live, go bloom. We talked about blooming last week. He says you can't make your life longer or better by worrying. But when we focus on God, that makes our life better. Well, we are back into the thick of the Sermon on the Mount. We're about 2/3 of the way through. We took a break from that to read the Psalm or the Palm Sunday and the Easter Sunday passages. But now we're back in. We're going to finish out chapter 6 today, and then we have chapter 7, of Matthew. And just a reminder that one of the reasons we're doing this deep dive into the Sermon on the Mount is because it's a chance to get preached to by Jesus. We get to hear what Jesus asks of us. And it gives us this foundation so we can move into the world as followers of Christ, but also as a way to look at others who claim Christianity and consider what their fruits show and whether it matches what Jesus is telling us in his own preaching.
So we're diving right back in, right at the point that Jesus had told them not to store up treasures on earth, but to store up treasures in heaven. And the line before what we're going to read says, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. He's saying you can't have two masters. Which is interesting, because how many grown-ups are awake at night because of money problems or worries, stresses? Now, sometimes those worries are far off in the future, hypothetical, or maybe there's something in the near future, a bill you know is coming, or maybe it's present tense, the bill is due now. But when we think about worrying, it's not just about money. What are other things that people worry about?
Their health.
Health.
Their family.
Family.
Their
job. Job. What was that?
Others.
Others. The health of others, the well-being of others, safety. Now, no offense, but you all have been around a while, myself included.
Watch it now.
Has worrying ever paid off? No. And yet, we pick that up real easily. And how often do the things we worry about actually transpire? When you go through the list of all the things that could go wrong, how often do they actually happen? Not that often.
I'd say 50-50.
Okay, well, you have a higher average than me.
I'm older, that's why.
Do you think that maybe worrying keeps you from using your time well? It's not life-giving, usually. So today in our passage, we'll hear Jesus teaching his disciples not to worry. Joyce, come on up. We're going to listen to Matthew 6, 25 through 34.
Matthew 6, 25 through 34. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at all the lilies in the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all you need, all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Did you catch that last bit? Jesus isn't telling us we won't have worries or that life won't have trouble. In fact, he says, no, it's got plenty. There's enough in one day just for that day. You don't need to borrow trouble from the future. Just focus on the day. Do you remember during Holy Week we read about Jesus praying in the garden the night before his death? And he asked for this situation to be removed. Take this cup from me, but essentially change this. He was stressed. He was worried. In some passages, you'll read that he was so worried, he sweated drops of blood. So don't let this passage make you think you are doing something wrong if you worry. You can worry to the point of sweating blood and still be like Jesus. But the word they use, marmnao, which they often translate as worry, might be better translated as concern. And it's both useful and destructive. Having concern is good when it spurs us to prepare, to work, to be active in problem solving. When we have an adequate amount of concern for something that we have influence over, then it's useful. But when our concern is out of proportion for the issue, or we have concern over that which we cannot control, or we have concern beyond the present moment, then it can be destructive. It does not add life to our life. So this lesson from Jesus, again, coming right after he says, don't store up treasures for yourself on earth. You can't serve God and money at the same time, is not just a statement about where we put our focus, but also where we put our faith. It's a statement of God's presence through all of life's challenges. But we can't take it so literally that we think, well, then I'm just going to stop working and I'm not going to do anything to change the problems of the world. I'm going to be like a bird or be like a flower. But we humans do waste a lot of time worrying, and we especially spend a lot of time focusing on the things of life that Jesus says are less important than our spiritual life. And the truth is, even if the worst case scenario happens, God goes with us, just as God went with Jesus to the cross. Worst case scenario, but God strengthened him through it. I think about traveling as a metaphor. We can certainly find a lot of things to worry about when we're getting ready to travel. If we're flying, we worry about making our connections on time, getting through security, not getting bumped. If we're traveling internationally, then we can add on worries about getting through customs or losing your passport or getting sick in a foreign country or not knowing the language and on and on. Nowadays, you might even add on to that worries about successfully getting back into the country from which you came. If I let myself go down those worry roads like 2 months before I travel, it's largely pointless and certainly not a life-giving use of my energy. But as I noted, Merim now is not always worry, but concern. And in the right amount and in the right direction, it's useful. Emmett Fox notes that even if the activity is in the future, if we're worrying in the present moment, then we need to deal with that anxiety. We need to deal with that worry. So it's worth asking ourselves, is there any way I can be productive in this present moment to alleviate some of the worries? Back to traveling, do I need to make some reservations? Do I need to print a map or something like that? But if it turns to thinking about all the things that could possibly go wrong, we call that tailspin, we need to check back into our present moment. That thing is not happening now. I cannot control that thing. So I need to refocus my mind. If in the present moment I'm anxious, is probably a sign that my attention isn't on God and God's kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom, he says. And that'll prioritize everything else. Now remember, this instruction was being given to his disciples, who he was then going to send out into the world and say, don't worry, don't take stuff with you. You'll be provided for. So that's interesting. And it's also a group of people that have decided to live communally. They're sharing resources. So you don't need to worry about food or clothing because you're all sharing. Someone who has extra will give you what you need. If you have extra, you'll give them what they need. So maybe this is a bigger statement about how we're supposed to live kingdom life, sharing so that everyone has something and no one needs to worry. But in our day, whatever we're worrying about might give us a distraction. It might mean our attention is not on God. If we turn to spiritual practices, prayer, journaling, meditation, Jesus wants us to use our logic to plan and prepare, but to trust that God is with us and will go with us no matter what comes. This is not to say that anxiety or depression or anything like that shouldn't be treated. Jesus would want you to use the tools available. That's one of the ways we get back on track. So just, I want to be sure that it's not misheard. But speaking of traveling, how many of you watched some of the Artemis II coverage? The takeoff, the launch, the landing. Do you feel any anxiety over watching that? I did. I was in fifth grade in class watching the live transmission of the Challenger when it took off and exploded. Yeah, that was horrifying. And then I remember being in Walmart shopping in my late 20s when Shuttle Columbia disintegrated upon reentry. So I have a little bit of fear when they're sending people up in a rocket, but I imagine most of you do too. So I was thinking about the reentry and I was getting, you know, watching it and wondered what it must be like for the crew members, the family members. And I felt anxiety, but I knew there was nothing I could do. That is not something I can control. I could pray, and I did. And in praying, I sensed I was not the only one on the world praying. The body of Christ was praying for that group. That was a sense of that communal body of Christ. Now, for the four that were up there, they put in their training. They did the work. They did the preparation. The engineers and the mission control folks, all the other players, put in the work. They used the knowledge gained from those failures to make better protections for this group. And now, I don't know this, but I imagine a lot of the astronauts' pre-flight training was psychological. And I would bet money they did it with trained, specialized therapists. And undoubtedly, all their years of experience, they have practiced focusing on the present moment, taking care of the problem they could control right in front of them. Focus on just the troubles of the day. Plan for the future if that's part of your daily work. But no one could have thought of all the risks at all the moments of that trip and not imploded mentally, I don't think. So they learned how to focus on the now, the present moment. And we've heard the faith of some of those astronauts spoken plainly, and you know that they placed themselves in God's hands while at the same time doing everything in their power to do the job well. Kurt Thompson's a psychiatrist that talked about anxiety and meditation on the Bible Project podcast. So if you've been coming to Thursday's Bible study, we watch Bible Project videos. They have a podcast and it's pretty interesting. And Kurt was talking about how we humans are storytellers. We tell ourselves stories about what happened, about what will happen, and we're time travelers. We're the only creatures that we know of that have the ability to think about the future or to mull over the past. And in that kind of time traveling mentally, we create stories in our minds, how well things went, sometimes what we wish we had said in the past. And if we focus on the past, a lot of times that's where we find our anger comes from. And when we focus on the future, that's generally where we find our anxiety comes from. We're focusing on something not yet present. Meditation helps to train our brains to be in the present moment, just as Jesus was trying to teach. Live today's troubles. That's enough. So as we participate in spiritual practices, we train our brains to trust God's presence that goes with us always, even into, through, and onto the other side of death. We remembered last week, God didn't remove the cross. God doesn't prevent a flower from dying or a bird from dying. But that doesn't diminish God's generosity and God's presence in our lives. Kurt notes that we become what we pay attention to. So Jesus' guidance to pay attention first and foremost to God and how to live in God's kingdom forms who we are. Jesus is not criticizing anxiety. He's not saying that worrying is a sin. He knows worries. He worries about Jerusalem. He weeps over the city. He's worried about his own death, wants that to be taken from him. He is concerned for his mother and friends he leaves behind. So he's not saying worrying won't come. That's part of life. But he's guiding us on where we spend our attention. Seek first the kingdom of God. Feeling worried? Maybe that's a sign to say a prayer or to sit in silence or to read the Bible. Then our lives, as well as our minds, will have our priorities straight. Living in the presence of God is eternal life. Jesus asks, who can add years to your lives by worrying? We can't. We don't add quality either. Who would want more years of worrying too? Just saying. But let's trust God to go with us through the hard times, through whatever we might worry about. And train ourselves to place our attention on the love of God, which is the most important thing. Amen.